Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Should we do the music?
Music.
Hey everybody, we're back from Grand Prix Vegas, and you're listening to another episode of The Command Zone. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
And we're back in business, guys. We have returned from Grand Prix Vegas.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I closed my eyes in my chair today for like half a minute, and I fell asleep.
I mean, how many total hours of sleep do you think we got over the four nights?
Like maximum combined? 16.
Yeah, I think it was about 16. It was definitely, we maybe averaged 4 hours total.
We averaged less on the day of the actual main event.
Because yeah.
We decided to go to bed at 4/5 and wake up at 8. So
that seemed like a good idea at the time. Turns out it wasn't.
It did not seem like a good idea at the time.
No,
it seemed
that's
like
true.
A bad idea the
I
whole
think we're
time.
All going, what are we doing?
Yeah, pretty much. But the gathering was awesome. The entire event was fantastic. So many people showed up, met so many people that we have interacted with on Twitter, on the podcast, and it was great to actually see everyone.
Yeah, it was great to put a lot of faces to the names. And man, so our party, our gathering, we'd planned on having about 45 people or so there. And I think we probably had, 120 or so?
No, I think we went up to like 160, 70.
it was a lot.
Maybe not all at the same time, but definitely throughout the night, people were cycling in and out.
Yeah, we ran out of beverages after the first hour and a half, and it was supposed to last us like 7 hours. So
yeah, I remember we ran out of tables, and people were like, hey, are there any more tables? And I just looked out the room. I was like, just go and take those. I'm so sorry. I can't help you guys move all of them right now because I'm trying to do like 8 other things.
Well, so you know, big shout out to the Plaza Hotel because, you know, we had booked a room for 45 people, and they moved us into a larger room, and they gave us a bunch of extra tables, and they were very cool about like not getting uptight about the party getting bigger than we thought it was going to be. So
yeah, that's awesome.
You know, they were really awesome about it, and you know, they could have been the other way. So it allowed the gathering to get pretty huge. I mean, there was a lot of people there.
Yeah, and I think the thing that we didn't anticipate as happening as much as we thought it would just be word of mouth spreading over, you know, the probably like 2 hours before the event, everyone was like, "Oh, you guys should come to this thing. This thing's happening tonight." And then I think that's how most of the probably the large majority, because if 45 people RSVP'd and another 80 showed up, that's probably where they all came from.
Yeah, I knew we were in a little bit of trouble when I started seeing things on Twitter, like other podcasts inviting people to our party that we didn't even know the podcast that was inviting them. It's not like the Brainstorm Brewery guys were tweeting it out. It was like some other people we didn't know very well, which I wasn't like, don't do that. But I was like, uh-oh, we might have more people than we thought.
Yeah, I'm glad it had happened because it felt like it was just a mini little Grand Prix tournament Friday Night Magic thing that happened. And it was awesome. It was actually hilarious because it was like, yeah, the guys from this podcast. And I was like, that's not the name of our podcast. Are hosting a party. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I was okay. I'll just show up. It'll still be cool. At least they knew it was about Commander.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the most important part. It's not about any specific one podcast or the other. But, I mean, we have a ton of shout-outs to make to all the people that joined us. Geez, where should we start? There's so many people.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Well, I'll start with Alex and Kyle from Ottawa. They joined us. They actually found us on the floor of the convention center and played some EDH with us. Then they went to dinner with us at Fogo. We went to dinner with the Brainstorm Brewery guys and the professor from Talarian Academy. And then they went to the gathering that night and hung out with us. So those guys hung out with us basically all day on Thursday. And then we kept seeing them on and off at the convention center. So that was cool.
Oh, very nice. That's right. We also had WC Power 9, Jake, and his brothers. And actually, he provided a large number of lands because we were drafting Conspiracy that night. So thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, Jake from Portland, Rip City, baby, and his brothers. yeah, because we were like packing all our stuff. Well, here's another story. Jimmy and I had tons of product to bring, right? Because at our gathering, we wanted to do free Conspiracy drafts for everybody. And so we were packing like boxes and boxes of cards and our EDH decks and all kinds of, and prizes. We were giving away tons of prizes at the gathering too. So turned out we both had two bags to check and we were sort of at the weight limit for a couple of those bags.
Oh yeah, totally.
So I was like, we can't really be bringing basic lands. So we were trying to reach out on Twitter to somebody who lived in Las Vegas, and Jake Wafflecone Power 9 was the guy that was local, and he brought a whole bunch of lands and kind of saved our butts there.
Yeah, thank goodness. And there are plenty of lands to go around, which was good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I played some really cool games with a couple of ladies, one named Janet and the other named Jamie. Jamie, actually, I didn't learn your last name, and I know your boyfriend or husband was there also, but Jamie showed me this awesome draft deck that she had drafted on Sunday, and she said it was the first time that she'd ever gotten out of the first round of a draft. And Jamie, if you're listening to this, I'd like to hear how you did in that draft, because your affinity deck looked awesome. And,
nice.
Janet's actually the one that sold me that sweet chainmail dice bag that she made.
Oh, yes. So Josh's old dice bag was just jank. He paid a decent amount for it, and it was really cool because it had the stormtrooper on it.
But
the
then,
helmet.
Yeah, and but then the stormtrooper just peels right off. Yeah, it's horrible. Tolarian, the professor would give that thing like a C- or a D.
Yeah, and speaking of who, him, I don't know. The professor was there himself, and that was awesome because I didn't realize how much influence he had, because everyone was saying hi to him, and I think he was the biggest, the coolest dude at the event by far, in my eyes at least.
I mean, there was a lot of cool dudes there, but the professor definitely carries his weight. We got to hang out with him a lot this weekend. He was one of the guys that like sort of went to dinner with us every night, and we got to see a lot of it, and it was really good to get to know him.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of guys from the Five Commanders podcast were there, Casey
right.
Marsh, Ben Deckel, Phil DeLuca, who was Five Commanders, but now is the Commanderin podcast.
Ooh, nice.
And his co-host Nate was there too. And they were actually recording an episode of their new podcast off in the corner of our gathering. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I saw them get to interview a couple of people. Someone I met back in Seattle at PAX last year, Eve McCray, who has a BDM-inspired Sidisi spider spawning deck.
Oh, yeah, that was
awesome.
Yeah, he cast spider spawning and put out like 27 spiders on me once.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I
tweeted it at BDM. I was like, look, dude, he's doing your thing.
Ah, that's hilarious.
That was pretty sweet. There was a kid named Trevor. I don't know Trevor's last name or his Twitter handle, but he had heard the Space Janitors Xenagos episode. And then so he took that deck and then built his own version of it, which
Very
I'm
nice.
Sure Craig would be like super proud of, because I renamed it the Infectagos deck.
Oh, it was Infect?
Yeah, it was Infect.
Infect Xenagos. That's brilliant.
Yeah, Infectagos. And by the way, it was brutal.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that was just one turn kills left and right.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was
wow.
Pretty, it was pretty tough,
that's
yeah.
really that's really cool. We had the winner of Dragon Week there, Hugo D. Elaine, HD Elaine on Twitter. Welcome, Hugo. You did it, man. You won Dragon Week, and you got to come to our meetup.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, because every time we talked to him, we'd be like, hey, Mr. Dragon Week. I just called him Mr. Dragon Week or Dragon Week winner, or I would just shout out at him, and I think he was a little embarrassed by it. But
that's
I
what you get
care.
For being a winner.
That's
You're
right.
a winner. Woo!
There was a kid named Paul Swenson, who was a Vegas local, who was at our gathering, and he had built his own version of Marchesa, which he said
cool.
was, you know, he had listened to all our episodes about Marchesa, and he built the sort of act of treason version where you steal their stuff and then keep it for good.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Paul actually couldn't play in the main event because he had to go on his senior trip, so he was a little bit bummed about that. He was there with a couple of friends. One of his buddies, Austin, was wearing the same shirt as me, which was a Sriracha shirt. So he was my favorite person at the party because we were twinsies.
You guys were twinsies. We should also give a huge shout out to someone that provided us with so we had conspiracy drafts, and this guy provided 8 packs of The Dark for the entire pod. And then he gave us 4 to give away on the show. So a huge, huge shout out to Mr. Alex Newman.
Alex Newman. He writes for MTG Bro Deals. So you can check out some articles he's done there. He's at Alexander New M. The letter
yeah,
M
definitely.
On Twitter.
So he's been writing at mtgbrodeals.com for a few months now. So definitely check out the articles he has there. I've read a couple. They're super high quality. So we'll put all those links in the show notes, of course.
Yeah, it would have been so awesome to be in his pod. He literally gave out a pack of The Dark to everybody. And some dude says, Josh, come here. And I come over and he's like, look what I first picked. And it's Leviathan from The Dark. It was so sick. You know, our friend Vincent got an Elves of Deep Shadow. Like, it was pretty sweet. That was pretty cool of Alex
nice.
To do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was made for a really unique draft experience, too. Because, I mean, how often are you ever going to get to do that? Like, super rare.
Yeah, those packs are definitely, I mean, you could look at the packs, too. They were almost, they kind of had the, like, we're so old, we're, like, slightly bending in our packs, which is hilarious.
Another guy who did something similar was our buddy Sean Gibbons, who's actually works at WotC, and you're going to hear him later because we're gonna play some interview snippet conversation stuff that we took at the convention center with some people we could grab, and Sean's one of them. But Sean, actually, he got into his conspiracy draft, And then he did a similar thing to Alex, except he gave everybody a pack of the new Modern Masters set. He just threw that in for free.
Oof. I mean, that's what you get. You get that sweet hookup, Wizards hookup. Sean's the community, one of the community managers at Wizards of the Coast, and he's the one that actually helps us provide, all the prizes that we give away on the show. So big shout out to him.
And a lot of the product actually we were using at our gathering to give away and use for the conspiracy drafts was from Sean also. Mm-hmm. So I think somebody opened a foil Vendilion click. I think we'll talk about that later. But
yeah, we'll mention that later on in the interview when we talk to Sean. Big shout out also to Nate Holt of Walk the Plains, who was there with Trick Jarrett and Blake Rasmussen, who are all awesome employees of Wizards of the Coast. You've probably seen these guys tweet a bunch as well online, and I'm sure you've seen Nate's face on Walk the Plains plenty of times.
Yeah, that was really cool to see those guys all throw down. Alex Kessler, Ben Bateman from our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern, were both there. In fact, they sort of created their own little modern table. Ooh. And I think Alex played EDH at first, but when Ben got there, I think they just had their little group of people playing modern because Alex basically brought like one of every tier one and two modern deck with him.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and they were also testing out a couple of brews. And also shout out to Ben Bateman, who got 96th place at the GP out of like 4,000 people. That's awesome.
Way to go, Ben. He cashed. I mean, he was in the money, so he's he's a professional now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had that's how that works.
Yeah, and then we also had an LA crew / San Francisco crew with Josh Sutherland, who works at Blizzards. He also just singular. He also bought his first commander deck at the event.
Oh yeah, we got him. We hooked him.
Yeah, we also hooked him on craps, but that's another story. Brian Tran, who used to work at Riot, now up at Twitch, one of our great friends that used to draft with us all the time and down in LA.
He wasn't even going to come to the event, but he got talked into it like only a couple days beforehand. So that was sweet.
Yeah. He got talked to it by one of his good friends, Wes Ruddle, who works at Riot, and they got to stay together, which is awesome.
And Wes was actually like killing it in the drafts on Sunday. It's like the format clicked for him, and he was just going to the finals of every draft he was in that day. So
yeah, Wes was killing it. He's a consummate gamer, so he knows what's up. And of course, Vinny T, Vincent Truong, who has won stuff on the show. He's a friend of us here in LA, and we've drafted with him a bunch of times as well.
Yeah, he plays at our LGS, so he was hanging out with us all weekend. I want to give a big shout to the Reverend in Fuego from BJ Shea's Geek Nation. He was definitely there at the event, and he brought a Xu Yun deck, and we played in a big six-person game where the Rev and I basically got throttled the whole time.
And the winner of that was a Brainstorm Brewery guy, Corbin Hostler.
Yep, who we will talk to later.
Yeah, but also Marcel, Antoine, Ryan, Jason Alt, all those guys from that podcast and their friends were all there, which was awesome.
Another cool guy I got to meet is Jason Rice, who writes the Unified Theory of Commander on the Brainstorm Brewery website. And then later, I did actually get a game of Commander in with him, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, also big shout out to Magic the Amateuring and the Girlfriend Bracket, who I invited over Twitter as soon as I saw they tweeted about landing in Vegas. I was like, oh, they should come too. And it turns out they'd already heard about it, I think. And so they all made it over, which was awesome.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. There was a guy named Peyton Bullis who has a really cool Twitter picture of himself with like a lightsaber, which is, that's how I picture him in my head. And when I see him, he doesn't actually look as evil as that. He looks a lot nicer. He found us at the convention center also and did come to the gathering. Really cool. Nice guy.
That's awesome.
Michael Rodriguez, who I don't know if you remember, but in our conspiracy game, he played the Terastodon and then everybody immediately killed him.
Oh, yeah. Poor Michael.
Yeah. Sorry, Michael.
He wanted to play EDH with us later, and I didn't get to find him again at the convention center, but I did get a couple of trades off with him, so that was really fun.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And of course, if we did miss you, your name here, we thank you so much for coming out. There were so many people there. It was super overwhelming, but super awesome. A.E. Marling, Ashlyn Rose, Christine Sprankle, the cosplayer, they were all there. And it was just really special to just have an event outside of the main event that wasn't stressful, that was just laid back. You can just hang out, play some EDH, and not have to worry about really anything. And that's kind of what we were going for. And I think people really got to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I think it really went off well. I mean, besides for you and me, if you're like me anyway, it felt pretty hectic. But for everybody else, I think it felt chill, which was really the goal of the whole thing, was just to slow it down, get everybody a chance to actually play some games, but in a really casual setting. And I think people appreciated that. And they got to, it was more about just hanging out while you're playing. So, yeah.
And draft for free. Hey, that's always an upside.
You know, one thing I'll say is when we heard that amount of people were going to show up, that was my biggest worry, was like, uh-oh.
Mine too, yeah.
We don't have enough product for everybody to be able to draft. And then it turns out, like, we fired like 10 flights of 10 pods of 8 conspiracy draft. So everybody got to draft. Some people got to draft twice. It ended up really well. And you know, how many people told us like, man, conspiracy is really fun. I never really got to draft that more than once or twice.
Oh yeah, totally. It's essentially draft EDH in a lot of ways, yep. Especially the way that we do it, where you mix in packs from other sets and stuff. So you really get a full experience. So that was a lot of fun.
I think also making the draft free just made it all about the fun. You know, it's not like you're playing for prizes, and that's really it made it like really palatable for everybody. They didn't have to worry about like trying really hard to win. And if somebody teamed up on you or something, it wasn't like, it didn't feel bad because you're not playing right for prizes and all of it was free. And so everybody could just laugh and have fun, and you could draft a silly deck if you wanted to, and it was still totally fun. So, you know, that was something I appreciated about it.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, draft can definitely be a little intimidating the first time you do it. And I think we had a lot of first time drafters there. So that was very special to see. Always fun. Conspiracy is great. Can't wait for Conspiracy 2. Hope it comes out soon.
Yeah. Do it, Wizards. Do it.
All right. So the format for this episode, we're finally going to get talked about that. We interviewed a few people and just sat down with friends at the event. So we're just going to sort of intersplice some of those little segments. And we're going to talk about the event, talk about what's happening, and sort of hope to give you guys a full image of GP Vegas just from the player's standpoint, from the ground. And just hopefully get some cool stories out of it, too. So even if you guys didn't get to attend the event itself, you get to hear about it and hopefully get to relive some of the experiences as well. Oh, and one last thing before we play these recordings, because we were on site and using a different recorder, it's going to sound a little different. It may be a little jarring at first, but you'll settle into it. There's just going to be more background noise, and we're all just gathered around one of the portable recorders. So when we get back to our voices on the microphones, of course, you'll hear the difference there.
All right, cool. Let's go to our first two guests, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. We are here with two lovely fellows. We have Jason E. Alt, at @JasonEAlt on Twitter, from Brainstorm Brewery, and A.E. Marling, dressed. You can't actually see what he's dressed like. But
you can describe it. It'd be awesome.
He's got a butcher's apron on. Or not butcher's apron, perhaps a practitioner's apron. It's Stitcher Geralf, who is one of the legendary creatures that you could get from the mono blue commander deck.
Plus, he's holding an eyeball.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Jimmy. I always like having a spare around.
Eyeball?
yes.
In case you lose yours?
My prior opponent wasn't using it very much, barely sentient, so I'll put it to a much greater use.
And insulting his prior opponent. I think that, Jason, you were one of his prior opponents.
Yeah, that's right.
But you won.
I won the second game. The first one did not go so well for me.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Well, you were playing Prosh, so I'm surprised you even got out of the second game without people just immediately hating it out. But that was a good job.
The first game, I played my Vorel deck, which I want to be good, and just it's not. But
I played a similar deck. My Sea Monsters Tribal with Thada Adele as the commander. And she's a very strong, and I feel borderline too powerful of a commander, but when paired with just ramping into giant sea monsters, whales, leviathans, etc., it's pretty reasonable.
Do you get to use that board, that bounce spell that just keeps your guys along, or like the leviathans?
The Whelming Wave?
Yeah,
that
is
the marquee card of the deck.
I was just thinking, I was holding that card in the game and it would do nothing against you.
No. But it is a fun deck, and one of the reasons I like it, not only do I love destroying and devouring people whole with huge leviathans and monsters, but because it's a flavor first deck, I can pitch it as that, and people are like, oh, okay, well, he's not gonna do anything, and they are somewhat correct. But on the other hand, I also have a game plan I like to execute. Just, you know, put these huge dumb sea serpents. I basically literally have sea serpent in the deck, and they, you know, they attack and they block, and I have three counter spells like foil to prevent board wipes. And then I, you know, draw a ton of cards like blue usually does, so it actually sometimes can win as long as everyone underestimates me, which is easy to do when I'm playing Sea Monsters Tribal.
And they should underestimate you.
Yep, I think legitimately
there's a lot of, if you're paying that much mana for a big blue creature, a lot of times they'll tack on worthwhile abilities. So something like Stormtide Leviathan is playable in a lot of EDH decks.
Yeah,
and not just flavor ones.
What is that? It's a giant whale, the one which swallows a creature every time it attacks.
Yeah.
I made it onto the community ban list pretty much. If you go.
Oh, really?
Okay. Huh. Colossal whale.
People are voting to ban that thing.
What?
Giant whale is the big whale that can untap lands, right?
That's great whale.
Great whale.
Great whale.
There's a lot of whales.
I get my whales mixed up.
Well, it's easy to do when they're leaping towards.
There's a 4/5 whale you could give jump to for a mana also. Not all whales
Orca
are created equal.
Whale?
Yeah, something like
that. Oh, yeah.
Whale.
Classic.
Not all whales are created equal.
So let's talk about the GP. Is there anything particularly cool that you guys that happened to you? Besides our gathering, we'll talk about that in a minute, but do you have any?
I want to hear more about SVU HQ and how it went down.
Oh, man, yeah, the
so,
house.
Things got too big this year. We are too big for one house.
Wow.
So despite having about 20 people living under one roof, the SVU HQ, as we called it, there's also an SVU compound. So it wasn't all heavy meta fans. It was a combination of fans of a lot of different podcasts, but Money Draft, Brainstorm Brewery, Heavy Meta, all kind of combined to basically rent a house with a pool and got some kegs and, you know, some barbecue action going on. And
a whole lot of magic playing. A
whole lot of playing magic.
Yeah. Yeah, we went over there and we did a chaos draft with you guys. That was a lot of fun. There was a ton of people there. It reminded me of like a frat house.
Yeah, we also ate some of Marcel and Antoine's
food.
Oh,
yeah, which that was delicious.
Immediately better than the food that we paid like $30 for inside the Palazzo. So
that's true. Big props to those guys. Well, I won't name the place, but yeah. Marcel can cook, man. Or barbecue, at least.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, anyone who knows Marcel sees like 3/4 of his Twitter pictures are of food.
They're countdowns for food, actually.
And only 1/4 is cards that everyone else accepts are near mint.
Oh, man. Some of the Marcel mint. If you guys don't follow Marcel, we'll put, of course, all the links in the show notes. But it's Marcel mint, which is just nowhere near mint.
It's like super mint.
Super mint, yeah.
Cards still in the booster pack.
No one's breathed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 90% of cards that come directly out of booster packs are not Marcel mint.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially with this packaging.
Yeah, especially the new packaging.
The new packaging. But it doesn't matter because I saw zero problems the entire weekend.
Well, I did see a foil Bitter Blossom bent in half. So I
coming straight out of the pack?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that was...
I didn't see anything I minded. I definitely opened a pack that had 16 cards and 2 foil rares in it. So one Battle Grace Angel, 1 Blake Moth Nexus. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about that one.
I think I like these print run errors.
And how about you, Mr. Marling? Did you have anything standout happen?
I mean, to put it simply, this is the first time I've cosplayed at a GP, and it was a fun experience. And
there weren't too many people cosplaying at GP Vegas.
No,
I'm surprised.
It's not
Christine Sprankle just held it down. Clearly.
And Jacqueline, and it's not something that's been done too much, but I likely think more of it will happen. People are very appreciative of it. It's cosplay as a way to share your excitement with a genre and with a character, and really reinforce what you're doing with other people. And for me, cosplay is wearing imagination on your sleeve, and I really enjoy getting into it. And for me, it's not too great a leap to become a maniacal Stitcher Gerald.
In this case, you're actually wearing your imagination right on your breast pocket because the card is hanging out.
Oh, yes. I have the actual card on my jacket. Yes.
It's good though because someone might mistake you for something else.
I'm
like just a crazy person carrying an eyeball.
Yes. Well, this is Las Vegas.
They're like, are you from Dr. Horrible?
Yes. Well, I also cosplay as Dr. Horrible, but today, Stitcher Gerald.
Excellent.
The greatest scob maker in Innistrad.
I want to see some decks built around Stitcher. So if anyone actually has a deck list around them, I'd love to see
it. Do tweet it to me at AE Marling. I suspect that you would have to play it as Grimgrin, who is Stitcher Gerald's finest creation, and then include his sister.
Oh, right, Ghoulcaller.
Yeah.
Gisa. Interesting. Okay, let's talk about the party, the gathering. So you guys were both at our big gathering on Thursday night. And I just want to hear your experiences there. You know, Jimmy and I were trying to jump in as many games as possible, but we didn't get to hear all the stories from the evening. So I think
we also lost every game immediately.
As expected.
Well, because you taught us all your tricks.
We got teamed up on it. Just
well, it's really it's like you would. It's just easy to be like, I swing at you, and be like, okay, why not? I guess.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it because sometimes at these large GPs, people are very focused at draft on constructed side events. There's not usually a designated space yet, and I hope this will change. There's not usually a designated space yet for Commander games, mm-hmm. and whereas mm-hmm. this gathering gave us one, and everyone was there enjoying it. People were trying Commander for the first time, and
oh really?
Yeah,
excellent.
Aaron, did you play with some new players?
Aaron Campbell, and the people.
Oh, from
the girlfriend bracket. We're trying new decks.
Great, sweet. How did they have fun?
Well, they did have fun until I. Perhaps I should not have. I played Nicole Bolas. And,
how?
Just because it was the last deck I hadn't played that night, and so they were having fun up to the point I Cyclonic Rifted all their opponents and made them all discard their hands in one turn.
Oh, you monster!
Ooh, yes. You are a monster. That is Nicol Bolas though for you, so I guess that was on flavor.
That's a good story for them. How about you, Jason? Anything?
I think the gathering reinforced a trend we're starting to see in Grands Prix where an event that's sufficiently large is going to get such a large population of people who aren't just there to play the main event, or like me, just didn't play the main event at all. These are starting to turn into magic conventions, which is why you're starting to see a little bit more cosplaying. You're starting to see a lot more people just there for side events, and I think that's great, having a take on a convention feel. And like when you're in a convention, we're in Las Vegas, why not have a party? So having a dedicated space for people that are all there, you know, because they love your cast and they love Commander, playing a bunch of Commander games, and then you guys were very generous in furnishing us with some sealed products so we could play some drafts.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy and Josh, for putting this on.
Oh, of course, and a lot of that was about half us and half Wizards. A lot of that was Wizards also, so they definitely were giving us product for that to happen, so thank you to them.
And inventing Conspiracy, which is the closest version of draft EDH you can get.
See, I haven't had an opportunity to draft Conspiracy since the set was new and my LGS ran out, so getting another crack at that was a lot of fun. And
oh, I didn't know your LGS ran out. That's a great sign.
Conspiracy packs are still available. Like, they're still being
printed. Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah. We pick them up whenever we can. If I get below six boxes, then I just buy more because we've gone through so much of it.
If you're value hunting, too, there's a lot of
Faden, I really need him for my Nicol Bolas, for all my decks.
What's great is a lot of the stuff that people thought was kind of useless, the stuff that's just draft only, people didn't really think about it initially, that all that stuff is great in queue.
Yeah. Right.
So you get a foil Paliano, a foil Lore Broker.
Yeah.
Anything it's that value. Lets you break, like, I love unglued cards in queue.
Mm-hmm.
And unhinged cards, anything that breaks the rules of Magic in a fun way, everyone can agree that's cool. So the stuff that is draft specific, like it lets you add a card from another booster pack, look at people's Cog packs, get past their last picks.
I admit, I like playing one silver bordered card in my EDH decks if I can. I ask people, usually they say yes. And for instance, I play Old Fogey in my Xenagot deck, and it's very appropriate for me given how long I've been playing the game. And it attacks for 14, and so it does its job.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
I'm a big fan of Cheaty Face, just because if it's in, you are cheating in more ways than one. Both the card is silverboarded and
overpowered in the Thassa deck.
That's why I don't play Magic with David Blaine. I was pulling Cheaty Faces out of my own pocket. It's like, flip your deck over. Oh, my whole deck's Cheaty Faces. How'd you do that, David Blaine?
He's like, look again. It's like, oh my god, they're all islands.
All right, guys, thanks for coming and giving us some stories, and it was really sweet to hang out.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Make sure you guys follow these guys on Twitter and stuff. Again, all the links in the show notes below.
Yeah, it was really cool to get to hang with those guys. Got especially Jason, who we hung out with a ton. We'll talk about that a bit later. You know, we didn't talk about the main event at all yet, Jimmy.
That's right. That's right. We all played in the main event, so we all get to say that we played in the biggest ever Magic the Gathering face-to-face gaming tournament in the history of mankind. Mankind.
I don't know what song that was, actually. I started to do it, and I was like, uh-oh, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm going to edit that out. No, I'm not. I'm way too lazy. Yeah, so let's talk about the main event. I'll talk about me first, because that'll be a shorter story. Another story we'll tell a little bit later, but we were out very late the night before the main event. So I was super tired going in. And I had always said that I was probably going to drop after the first match, but I wanted to build my pool, play in the first match, and then drop just to say that I was in. So I did exactly that. I was true to my word. I opened my pool. We had a pre-registered pool. There was basically nothing there. There was no value. My best card was a Precursor Golem. In fact, it was the only rare that I ended up running in my deck. I ran sort of a Sultai splashing white for a rest deck. It had two Plaxcaster Froglings, which are the graft, the 3/3 graft guys that can give shroud to other things with 1/1 counters. It could do some stuff. It wasn't very good though. I only had like four removal spells. That's just all my pool had. I was trying to play all of them. That's why I splashed for a rest. I didn't feel it was a very strong pool, but anyway. I played my first round. I played against a guy named Donnie from Florida. I won the first game. I lost the second. And in the third game, I was going to win. And I just said, Donnie, it's okay. I'm going to concede. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, man. I'm going to eat and take a nap. I'm too tired. My pool's not good enough to really get to day two anyway. I don't want to work for all that time just to, like, go, you know, 5 and 4 or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I was just like, good luck, man. I hope that you do it, and maybe I'll see you later. And I conceded, and I left, and I was very happy with my decision because I got to go to lunch with Reverend Enfuego, and I got to take a nap, and I came back refreshed, and I ran into Donnie later, and he had done pretty well. He ended up 5-3-1, I think, is how he did. So he was close to day twoing, didn't quite make it, but anyway, that's my story.
Nice. I decided to get a little more serious with it. I opened a pretty good pool. I had Apocalypse Hydra in there, Wildfire, and a couple of other just very strong cards. So I decided to go 5 color with, you know, Skyreach Mantas and all that stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at the first 4 rounds, I went 4-0, which was awesome. And I was
you were
sweet,
kicking butt.
Doing so well. I'm killing it. Maybe I can day 2. I've never done a day 2 at one of these things before. And then I lost the next 3 to go 0-3. So overall, I ended 4-3. I just dropped. But I had a really good time playing. It was really fun to just be able to like walk around, meet people. I met a bunch of fans of VGHS and stuff during the actual 4 rounds that I played. So it was a lot of fun to meet people and also just get in there for a little bit and play. Even though I didn't do well in the last 3 rounds, I don't really care. I got to play in the biggest event of the year. It was a lot of fun. And I got to, you know, play under pressure, got to have people watching the games I played and stuff, and mm-hmm. tried to play really tight and all that stuff. And so it was a lot of fun to just have that sort of mentality on for a little bit, but I'm not very good at sustaining it because I get too salty, or I just want to crack jokes. You know, it's one or the other.
You were pretty salty after you lost that last game. And I can totally understand, like, you start out super hot and, you know, probably a couple things break a different way and maybe you do day 2 that thing. So that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I also lost a game in that last match to not be able to make day 2 because they did a deck check and I was super rushed when I first wrote my deck list down and I ended up having a card out that was not correct. And so I lost the first game automatically.
Just from one card being off your...
Yeah, one card being off the list.
Yeah, that's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, it happens. And I should have obviously, you know, paid more attention to it. But like I said, like, I'm not very good at that kind of thing, so...
Well, it's all live and learn. You know, it's all part of the experience. I think you had that cool experience of being, you know, in it, in the thick of it, though, for a little while. And that alone is worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm doing it. I can do it, guys. I'm doing it.
So you can do it.
You can do it. So, you know, that was fun. But yeah, so that's the main event for me. Overall, it's just a ton of fun just to play and meet so many people and, you know, just sit down and play a new format, play with these awesome cards and see what someone else ripped out of their pool. Ask like, whoa, did you get something worth any money? You know, it's just great to have those conversations and ask everyone where they're from and stuff. And everyone seemed to have a very similar mentality, which is we're here to have fun and not, you know, be super spiky and, you know, rude about anything. We're just here to play the game and enjoy each other's company.
And on that note, let's talk to somebody whose company we enjoyed all week. So let's go to the next guest.
And we're here with Sean Gibbons from Wizards of the Coast.
Hello.
Sean, hello. How are you doing?
That's a complicated question.
This is day 4, by the way. It's Sunday. Things are closing out today, but...
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
Every time I see you, you're just walking, like, pretty determined look on your face, very, like, I'm going somewhere with your phone the whole time.
I'm kind of proud I haven't run into anybody doing that.
Yeah, every time you, like, boom, 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 that way. Oh, no, now he's going the other way.
Yeah, Sean, if you guys don't know, he sends out a lot of the tweets from the official Wizards_Magic account. So you were there when people got married this weekend.
I was.
Wow.
That's a good story. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That was an incredible way to start the GP. We had 2 weddings, 1 at 3:00, 1 at 6:00.
Did they fire on time?
They actually didn't. And it was super stressful. Like,
oh my gosh.
And this is just stressful for the coverage staff.
Right.
I don't even know how the bride and groom felt.
Oh, right.
Right, right.
But yeah, we heard there was bridal party issues we were at the, and I don't even know what it was. Maybe they just, like, I mean, you know how it is.
They got mana flooded.
They
just didn't get cast on time, apparently.
But they all went off without a hitch.
Looks pretty cool.
Other than the timing, once we got going, the first officiant, by the way, was this crazy, like, Vegas-y, like, when you think of a Vegas efficient, this guy has, like, some sweet mutton chops.
Oh, wow.
He was, like, super, super tan.
Was he Elvis?
Black hair. And he was so
slick,
into
slick-looking guy.
He was super slick-looking. And then the second one was James Lee, I believe. He's ex Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a judge, and he married them.
That's pretty cool.
And clearly certified to do that.
Yeah.
I don't get the feeling that it's very hard in the state of Nevada to become certified. I think you L1. Just fill out an internet form and you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a really sweet
efficient one.
Oh, but Sean, yeah, the weddings were really sweet. What is your full job description? Because I never get it quite right.
I am the associate community manager for Magic the Gathering.
And if you guys didn't know, Sean is also the one that has been graciously hooking up us with our Dragon Week prizes, the giveaways at the
A lot of the stuff meetup. At the gathering, at the meetup. You were actually like walking around Vegas like hiding booster packs.
At one point, yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool.
And tweeting out like, if you look behind this garbage can.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Allison Lures.
Allison.
Nathan Price, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Nate Price.
My fellow associate community managers for Magic the Gathering.
You guys are all awesome.
They got to go farther away than
Allison's
you.
And you checked, and Nate's in Chiba, and they...
Now, how did you guys determine that? Did you draw straws? Did you rock, paper, scissors? Like, how'd that work?
we opened boosters and converted mana costs.
For real?
No way. No. That would have been fantastic.
So, Sean... Yeah. The wedding, what a great story. Mm-hmm. You were also at our gathering on Thursday night.
I was,
We saw you over there drafting some conspiracy.
Oh, you added some Modern Masters packs.
Yeah, here's
anyone that got in your pod was very lucky, I'll just say that much.
Yeah, Sean passed out Modern Masters 2015 boosters to the pod that was drafting conspiracy with him. And somebody pulled a...
Foil
V-Click, that's
right. Foil Vendillion Click, that would be... Oh, I don't know if I should...
No, I
name
don't.
Him on the air. No, I'm
we'll
gonna
just get that.
That would be Sean Kornhauser of Walking the Plains. I was there, Sean. And he opened a freaking
V-click.
Foil Vendillion Click.
Is it because his name is Sean and you purposely gave him that special?
Yeah, it was mislabeled. It was supposed to be mine, and he got it instead.
Did he at least not team up and kill you in the game?
He teamed up and we killed Nate Holt. So it worked out perfectly. At one point, we had kind of a nice, friendly game going, and Nate had some power on the board, and he was like, all right, Kornhauser, I'm going to smash you in the face now, and that just broke any alliance that the co-hosts had.
You got the planes, Walk the Plains guys to fight amongst themselves? Dude, you must have been good politicking. Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah, because the Wizards team, they was just like, hey, all right, hands in the air. That's hilarious. I got to meet Nate, too, which is awesome because I love Walk the Plains. And the guy, him and Trick are giants.
They're huge. They're huge. You can always find those two guys.
I don't know which one's taller, though. I've never seen them stand back to back.
Yeah, geez.
They should have a tall off. Them and Marshall.
A tall off, yeah.
You can have a tall off.
Yeah. We can make that happen before the night's over.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sweet. Then you and I and Sean can have a short off.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Just looking up. Like, okay, all right.
All right, Sean. Really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much.
If you guys want to follow Sean on Twitter, we'll put the stuff in the show notes below.
Sean's great. I love Sean so much. I met him originally at Wizards of the Coast because he invited me to go and take a tour when I was back for Penny Arcade Expo last year. And I had a blast. Sean's been a friend ever since, and he's also the one that really has just hooked us up with stuff to give away and tweeted about us and stuff, and we couldn't be more grateful for all the help he's given us.
Yeah, Sean has been awesome to our show, awesome to us. You know, I hadn't really met him before. I'd maybe interacted with him on Twitter a little bit, but before this this event, and we got to hang out with him quite a bit. We got to go to some good dinners. We tried to teach him how to play craps. Yeah, Sean's just a really cool guy. We got to play in a chaos draft with him, and we got to play in that one really... Maybe we should tell the story. So we went to Delmonico's, which is a steakhouse in the Venetian, and who was all there? Kenji was there, Newmont.
Kenji was there. We had Colette, Susie the Gnat with Greg Ogrank. We had an SG Doc, Gabe Rial, who's a streamer, and we also had the professor from Tillerian College, and Vincent. V is for Vincent. So it was
V
a really good
crowd. V is
for
victory. V is for victory. Yeah, sorry, Vincent. No, that what a cool crowd. Super awesome. A lot of those people like Greg and Susie and Doc, they play in this super competitive league in New York that features like John Finkel and stuff. Like, they're good at Magic.
Yeah, definitely.
And as we all know, Kenji Numata the Manami is he's doing coverage now, but he's probably the biggest streamer for Magic that there is right now. So.
Oh yeah, by far he is. I think he's been doing it the longest, most of, like for the most consistently as well.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
He's freaking awesome.
So we're at dinner and we're eating and we're chatting and everything, and dinner's winding down, and Gabe starts going, "What are we doing after this? What are we doing after this? What we should draft? Why don't you guys, like, let's draft? Do you guys have a room? Where could we play?" You know, he's really pushing for it, and it's like 11:30 or so. And Professor's like immediately like, "No, it's too late. I'm out." You know,
he has a kid.
Yeah. And the rest of us are like, "Yeah, let's do it." So I think we started the draft in our hotel room at like 12-ish, 12:30.
Yeah, probably a little after that. I remember Kenji being like, "Uh-oh, I got to wake up at like 7 to go do coverage tomorrow."
And, yeah. But at no point did he go, I can't do this.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, "I shouldn't be doing this."
that obviously didn't change much.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we all drafted together. Kenji left immediately after, like, I think the second round. He was like, "Okay, I got to get out of here."
he finished all his matches. He was 2-1, and he was like, "I'm out." So he ended up, he went 2-1. I think he lost to Gabe. And Gabe went 2-1 because he lost to Wes. So Wes and I ended up 3-0. So, and I... won the dice roll there, so I actually got the foil cryptic command that was the main prize. So that was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. A foil cryptic command. We rare drafted afterwards, and Josh went ahead and just cleaned up in the draft with 5 colors. So congrats to you, buddy.
Oh man, that deck was unbelievable. Even Kenji, he looked at it, he goes, "Oh, well, I like that deck."
Yeah,
I don't even remember. It was pretty late.
It was just a blast to be able to draft with these guys that had been watching for so long on Twitch and stuff with Gabe and Kenji. It was just a lot of fun to just have that experience. So I was really, really just glad to have that experience in Vegas, because it was only at a big Grand Prix like this that you can get all these people together that you normally would not see, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and to just get a chance to play with those guys in the same room was just a lot of fun, because it's guys that you watch them stream and you admire them, and they're way better at Magic than we are, especially Limited. That, you know, I was able to sit there and ask Kenji, like, "I picked this and I had these choices. What would you do? And then, well, should I put this in my deck or this?" And, you know, just really learn a lot. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really, really sweet. All right. Well, that was an awesome draft. I'm so glad we got to do it. Let's move on to our next guest.
All right, we are here with the one and only at C Sprankle Run, or Christine Sprankle, aka Magic
Liliana.
Avacyn, Eternal Witness. Who else we got?
I was Soul Warden, Elspeth, Chandra. Like, who do you want? Like, who do you need?
Avacyn's my favorite. I mean, if I get a vote.
Yeah.
That Avacyn costume was amazing.
The spear lit up.
It did.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That was a team effort. My friend does, he has actually a laser cutter, and so he laser cutted the head of it.
Yeah, it
for
looked
me.
Perfect. It was flawless. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. He did an amazing job on that spearhead. It was stunning.
Yeah.
It was stunning. It would not have looked as good without him, for sure.
That's awesome.
When you got that perfect shot of you by the Las Vegas sign, which I'm sure probably everybody's seen by now, which is like the iconic shot from the whole thing.
Yeah, it was GP Las Vegas in
that
the picture.
Is,
yeah.
It's,
I mean,
you.
It's crazy.
Yeah, everybody was like, "Why didn't you do that for the play, Matt?" And I'm like,
"They should have done that.
Dude.
Oh my God.
That would have been sick though, right?"
Yes.
Run to the cash register.
No, tell me about the
way.
Here we go.
Tell me about the process of, like, because that you had to time that shot for the sun to be in the right.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, that was early in the morning, I'm guessing, right?
No.
Was it
sunset?
No. Listen to how crazy this was. I was an Eternal Witness from, like, 9 o'clock in the morning until around 3 o'clock. Somebody messages me from the team, the Wizards team, media team. They're like, "Hey, how long would it take you to jump into Avacyn for us?" And I was like, that takes a bit. Like, 'cause Eternal Witness, I have, like, this face paint on.
Right, you have, like, Elvish runes or something on your face.
And I was like, that'll take a bit to, like, go into totally different gear.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, "Well, okay, we need you in front of the Las Vegas sign by 7 o'clock. Okay.
Can you make it happen?
And, yeah, it wasn't even can you make it happen. It was just,
"We're doing this.
We'll meet you there."
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So
that's...
it takes me a while to get out of the convention hall, finally leave at about 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally takes me about 2 hours
just to switch
into everything.
Well, not to mention taking it off and then putting stuff on.
Yeah.
Well, that costume looks super intricate with the wings and everything.
Yeah,
like...
it was And just getting out of a turtle, like getting out of so much armor just to put a whole another suit of it on.
Do you have like a squire or somebody of the equivalent?
I have, he is fantastic. His name is Tristan. He's my handler. Uh-huh. And he literally on all of his name tags is just the handler. That's exactly what he does. I can't do it without him. But he and I literally, it was just ripping things off. Kind of like trying to be gentle,
right. But like, as fast as possible.
But as fast as possible. Switch.
How much skin do you lose in that process?
My shoulders. I'm covering up with makeup, but there's like spots where I've rubbed raw, like totally.
Oh, because you have to wear the wings and stuff. Wrapped.
Just taking them on, putting them off. Yeah, like, costume changing is brutal.
Yeah, so I literally have like a couple patches where it's just like the skin's just a little gone. It'll grow back though. We're fine. Yeah,
skin regenerates.
Yeah, like I'm still young. It'll be okay.
Well, Christine, you kind of are the prime cosplayer for Magic stuff. There's a few other people that out there that do it, but you have set the precedent and the bar obviously at a very high level because all your stuff is super awesome.
Yeah, back in 2011.
Yeah.
Before anybody like in Magic apparently even knew what cosplay was.
You're a trendsetter.
I literally, as I was falling apart in my very first Elspeth and very first set of armor, walked into 2011 Worlds and was just kind of like, hey.
Here I am. Yes. Let's change the game.
I thought, you know, my friends had said that Worlds was like almost like a convention for Magic. And so I thought, oh, well, I go to conventions. People dress up. That's what I do. Let's do that. And they're like, nah, it's not quite like that. And I'm like, no, I know. I've been to conventions all the time.
Yeah.
And
they didn't understand, but you set the precedent.
Like I never thought it would be this big ever. I never thought in a million years after making a really crappy foam Elspeth costume like 4 years ago, I'd still be here.
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Thanks.
And I think it's really cool because, like, I mean, Wizards obviously wants to push the Planeswalker thing.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense because people are like, oh, they should do a Magic movie. They should do an animated thing, anything, or et cetera. So,
well, it's cool when you're walking through the convention hall, too. You probably don't know this, but you'll hear this, like, whisper go, like, sort of through the crowd. There's, like, oh, Avacyn's over there. And you can sort of, like, tell. Like, it's not hard to find you at all because you can tell, like, people, you just follow this whisper, you know. It's like I've been at Comic-Con, and when Stan Lee walks in the building, there's this thing that happens. It's
a ripple.
And you just know Stan Lee's in the building, like, pretty fast. And there's this similar thing that happens in a halo around wherever you're at because, especially with Avacyn, where,
fitting, it's a halo.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. I think our listeners, maybe they don't know that you play EDH.
I do. I know. That's my number one question every time I'm at a Magic event.
Really?
Like, do you play Magic?
Do you know how this game works?
Yeah, and it's just like, well, I didn't just spend like a lot of my time. And I'm kind of like wearing, and I'm like, I'm kind of actually wearing like a Mox like opal on me. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, I play, I'm like a filthy casual. I play EDH. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, like, see, all our people are cheering right now.
Oh,
we're all filthy
God.
Casuals. Yeah.
We need to give you a high five. Okay.
Who's your favorite commander?
All my Kalia, where you at? Like, I'm literally, I think after Avacyn, everybody was like, so you're going to make your commander now? We're going to see Kalia cosplay? I'm like, God, I guess so. Because like, it was such a huge hit. I need to pay respect to my favorite lady.
The wings on Kalia seem just like a nightmare, though. She's got a big, impressive wingspan.
For Avacyn, I did like a folded so I could actually walk around. Because usually she's seen like in full outstretched radiance. And I was like, I can't walk around the hall that way.
Yeah, you just stand and rotate.
Yeah,
the whole time.
So I think maybe for Kali, I'll do also a little bit of folded dragon/demon wings to keep everything kind of where I'm just in the less like radius.
Yeah, right, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I definitely need to pay homage to my
favorite
lady.
Hopefully, you have more time to do this one than the 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I plan on it. I'm not going to rush that one at all.
Yeah. Did you get to play any games when you came to the gathering on Thursday?
Yeah, I did. It was so awesome. You guys know how to throw an EDH party. That was so nice. It was so chill. I didn't have like a million people behind me, like breathing down my neck, like, what are you playing? or you know, if I cast something like, you can just feel it. Like,
it was like, ooh, I don't know if that was right.
Yeah, you can just feel the judgment. It's like, get off my back, bro. Like, let me do whatever. You're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. But It was amazing. I actually got to play one really long, nice 2-hour game, which pretty like, what? I'm like, no, that was pretty amazing. And funny enough, the guy who was mana screwed for about six, like so turns,
yeah,
was the one that ended up winning the whole thing.
It always happens.
Because, you know, you ignore him. Yeah, you're like, oh, I feel bad for him. Yeah. Like, he's not doing anything. And
meanwhile,
then
he's looking at his hand and every card is just really good, but he can't play it.
Yeah, and no, the worst part was, what ended up happening was I had Kali out. I had a Lightning Angel. Who was it? The Boros lady.
Cassandra?
No,
Gisella? Yeah.
Battle Seraph?
No, Gisella.
Battle Seraph. Yeah, Bassandra, Battle Seraph. Yeah. Yeah, the red. I always
red,
say,
white.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boros.
And then the demon that does the tutoring effect.
Runes card?
It's so sad. I don't know. People are like, what? She doesn't know the card names. I don't know card
I don't
names,
know the card
but
names
I know art.
Yeah.
I can describe it to you so in depth and detail. I don't know their names. And I had a Sarah Angel, and what he
classy.
Did.
Classy.
I like it. Yeah, like I, everybody's like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, why not?
It's the OG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care. And
this deck's supposed to make me happy.
He literally gained control of all my creatures.
One of those.
Had haste, and he killed me with my own.
That's
I felt so
mean.
Betrayed. I felt so betrayed.
That is a new level of betrayal.
And that's how he won the game, the sleeper. I killed everybody else except him.
Oh,
I saved him for last, and then it was just like, oh.
It was like you got backstabbed by
yeah, I did.
By your closest, your dark confidant.
That's
you know?
Commander.
That was Commander.
Yeah.
How about at the GP? Do you have any cool stories of anything that's happened like at the convention hall or?
The best part was, honestly, a ton of kids came.
A lot of parents.
A lot of parents just brought their kids along, and I had one. He was super tiny. I was in Avacyn, and his name was Gabriel.
Cute.
And I was like, oh, you're adorable. And he comes up, and I like, really awkwardly, like, crouch down. And
how do you crouch with those wings? Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of awkwardly crouch down. Like, thank God I had the staff to kind of, like. And his mom was like, oh, take a picture with her. So what he does, like, I don't know. He didn't know what's going on. So he came over, but then he crouched down in front of me.
So you're both just crouching.
Yeah, we're just both kind of crouching, just staring at each other. And I was like, okay. And so I just put my hand over him like I'm blessing him.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
His mom's like, hold that pose. And just, and snaps next thing we know, we have like a wall of people.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Oh, everybody's just.
Just snapping a picture of me with this tiny little Gabriel. Jeez, and he just sat there with his hands like this. And I was like,
he just bowed
blessed
and
child.
Prayed.
Go blessed one. Child, go with the power of Avacyn's light.
If that kid doesn't turn into a magic prodigy, I mean.
Smite yeah. all those werewolves.
That is amazing. That's so cute. Yeah, that happens. You see that happen at cons all the time where it's
yeah,
like, oh, cool, you're dressed in the same show. Let's pose. Uh-oh.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. That's the thing that really keeps me, like, going is moments like that. Or I get a ton of players come up and they're like, I just won like an epic game with Avacyn. Like, thank you. You know, it's
yeah.
like you have this weird like connection with them that nobody else can ever understand because they're not.
Yeah.
They're not Avacyn. They're not Liliana.
Right. Right.
Well,
so.
maybe no one else can really understand. Like, I love that card, and
yeah.
this person clearly
really
also loves
card
that card
too.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's that connection, and it's really it. When I go home, that's what makes me want to make something else, so I can keep feeling that.
Yeah. Any plans for what you want to do next?
Well, I have to do Noble Hierarch for GP Charlotte. But after that, I really, I used to be a hardcore World of Warcraft player.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And so was I.
Burning Crusade was the best expansion.
Just Mad Brothers.
Are you guys Horde or?
Unfortunately, Alliance.
Thank you, thank you for your time. But no.
Every time I played and I saw just like the trolls and stuff just jumping around having a blast, I was like, I just want to be Horde.
To this day, if I see like anything like gnomish pop up on my computer screen, I immediately right click.
Yeah.
Like it's like a trigger thing. Like
just target.
I was I played gnomes, so.
You're so filthy.
She gave me the look, and she's dressed as Liliana, so it was really scary, actually. I thought I was going to get turned into a zombie, like, on the spot.
But I really, my favorite thing was I played a Blood Elf Paladin, mm-hmm. and my favorite instance back in the day was Karazhan. Like, I loved it, so I'm going to make my tier 4 Blood Elf Paladin.
Nice.
And I'm going to be super nerdy and have my Tripec of Ancients shield, because I was a Holy Paladin, and my Light's Justice.
That's awesome.
I'm going to be totally Karazhan'd out, though.
You're going to have...
Because that's what I want. That's
that was your era.
That was when I played the most, and I was like, now I can make that. I can be my little Blood Elf Paladin Tristan Soul. Like,
yeah.
So awesome. Why not?
You also get to make sweet shoulder pads. Not too many magic cards have shoulder pads.
Yeah, the way Warcraft did it. And like just having the sweet weapon too. Like just the armor. I literally can't. Everybody's like, oh, what's your next magic? I'm like, please.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on the show, and thanks for everything you do. I don't think people realize like how much hard work it is. Yeah, if people haven't been around like real costume designers and cosplayers, like they spend an enormous amount of time, and then just actually the amount of time at the convention and how draining that is.
Yeah,
I think people don't understand that either. So, let us just say thank you from the entire community. Thank you for everything you do. It's very cool.
You guys keep me doing it though, so thank you for inspiring me. Like it, I can't thank you enough for that.
You're welcome. All right, thanks, Christine.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if we did her justice for how cool she looked. You really have to see the pictures of her. If you're not familiar with her Twitter account is csprankelrun, and her cosplay is amazing. I mean, the Avacyn thing, I know we went on, but it's sick. You got to check it out.
Yeah, her entire, everything about her and the outfits she makes is just awesome. It's so cool too. She's friends with one of our mutual friends, D, that we play DDH with a lot. So it's just awesome to meet someone like that who is so dedicated to a different part of the game that you don't really see get much coverage.
She does play. You know, she was at our gathering. Yeah, totally. And she was totally slinging spells, and you know, she's not just somebody who just is dressing up for the fun of it. She totally plays.
Yeah,
and
doesn't mess
she's totally
around.
Into it. So yeah, cool chick. The next guy who we're gonna talk to. Which I just want to preface this. Him and Jason Ault were like, they were like our guys.
Yeah.
I want
they
to
were
say
the dudes. They were the dudes we hung out with the most, them and Vincent, by far.
We took them and taught them to play craps the first night, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit. I don't remember in our interview with them, but we were there 4 nights. 3 of the nights we were up super late playing rolling dice with those guys.
Even after we drafted, didn't we go play craps after that?
Yeah, we did the chaos. Yeah, we did the chaos draft at the SVU house, as they called it, the Brainstorm Brewery heavy meta house. And Marcel cooked up a bunch of barbecue, and then me, you, Jason, Corbin, and Vincent and Sean just were like, "Let's go roll some dice," and we took off and we did it. And Alex met us later. Kessler was with us a lot rolling the dice too.
But, yeah, Kessler.
Yeah, but those guys, we just really hit it off. I really liked hanging with those guys a lot. Corbin and Jason, very cool dudes, and you know, I think everybody ended up winning money on that last night.
Yeah, definitely, because Kenji went on a heater, man. He rolled dice for like 30 minutes straight.
If people don't know, there's a very superstitious thing about the game of craps, which is that there's big time beginner's luck. So I know statistically or scientifically or whatever, it doesn't matter, but I don't know. Like, new players just seem to like, it's almost like the universe wants to hook them into the game, so they just do good. And Kenji proved it. Kenji totally proved it. We got there, he learned to play for a little bit, and then when the dice finally got to him, he did not let us down.
Yeah, he began rolling and did not stop for a long time. He called a couple of the shots too, which is amazing. When you yell a number and then it hits, it's one of the most satisfying experiences you can do in the game. Which is
and
hilarious.
Everybody's just screaming and jumping up and down. And if you guys haven't seen Jimmy play craps before, which you probably haven't, it involves a great deal of yelling and jumping up and down.
Yeah, and you know, some people around the table look a little upset or displeased because I'm being loud and obnoxious. But
whatever,
then the casino sees more and more people join the table because clearly something exciting is happening, and everyone
exactly.
just goes nuts.
We're like marketing their product for free. I mean,
oh
come
my
on.
Gosh, yeah. I definitely turned into a different human being when I'm playing games like that. But, you know, it's all for fun. We came up with, this is my favorite part of the weekend, I think. We came up with these different words we would yell when we rolled the dice, and they were all Magic the Gathering related, except for one. So what basically happens in craps, if you guys don't know, is that there are two main phases, one when the button is off and one when it's on. And 7 is the most important number in the game. When the button is off, if you roll a 7, you win money, you win the bet that you put in. And we were at tables that had $5 minimum bets. which is probably the lowest you can get in Vegas. And so you'd put $5 in, and if you rolled a 7 or 11, you would get $5, and everyone at the table would cheer. And you keep rolling until you roll another number, and then that's when the game switches to you don't want to roll a 7. So one of the words we were yelling because a song by Nickelback came on, and we were putting $5 in, and every time we would roll the dice, we would yell, "Nickelback!" And if it would hit a 7, then we would all cheer because we all earned a quote-unquote nickel or $5 back.
Yep.
And Jason was the king of this. Jason Ault rolled more 7s that weekend when the button was off than any of us combined. And one time, I think he did it like 3 or 4 times.
I think it was five in a row.
Oh, my gosh. It was insane.
I mean, for the rest of my life, whenever I see Jason Ault, the first thing I'm going to say is, "Nickelback!" So
pretty much.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun. Yeah, I love those guys. Really had a lot of fun hanging out with them. And, you know, we have Corbin up next, so let's talk to him.
All right, we're here with Corbin, a.k.a. Corby, to me, by giving you a new
Nickelback.
Corby Hostler.
I appreciate the nickname.
Yeah.
That's good, yes.
I'm assuming I'm not the first person to call you that.
No,
nor will
you are
I
not.
Be the last.
I'm just going to call him Nickelback.
Corbin from, of course, the brewery / the Brainstorm Breweries. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
Yeah, guys.
Playing craps. Almost
yeah, we
every
hung out with you guys.
Night.
Yeah, almost what 3 of the 4 nights
yeah.
we were here.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great time. So thank you guys. I mean, you guys taught me how to play craps because I didn't know how.
I had this super proud moment where I was actually teaching Kenji how to play.
Right.
And you guys were far enough away that I couldn't actually speak directly to you very easily. And I was just watching you guys, and you're just doing all these moves. You're like, "I'll do this, I'll bet here, I'll move this." And I was like, "Look at those guys. They don't need me anymore."
Yeah. And so proud. You guys were raking it in, too.
Yeah, we had a great night that last night. And I was, like, teaching Travis next to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, like, asking me about different stuff. And I'm like, "I don't know to tell you why this works, but this is what my guy says to do. So that's what we're going to do."
And everybody won money last night, so that was great.
Well, yeah. Kenji went on a heater.
Oh, yeah.
It was his first time rolling in, I guess. If you guys don't know what we're talking about craps, the gambling game. And Kenji he probably rolled for like 30 minutes straight.
He was killing it.
He took care of us.
They brought in all the different pit bosses to sit at the table because
they literally tried to bring in 2 coolers, I think, to slow him down. And he would just powered through it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, which was great because then he went to bed super late and had to wake up early to do coverage. Channel Fireball, so I hope nobody noticed.
That's rough. That's impressive. Yeah. It's impressive. He's going to get home tonight and just crash for 24 hours.
You'll be a zombie walking in that hotel room, that's for sure. So how's your weekend been so far?
Oh, it's been great. We got in on Monday to hang out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You guys were for a while.
Yeah, we rented a house with some of the other podcasting guys and just been hanging out, cubing, being on the event site, doing Vegas, hanging in with you guys. So it's been great. Got a lot of magic in. Got some drafts in. Did not make the main event. Did not wake up in time.
Smart man. Yeah. Actually, smart man.
A little too much Vegas to wake up in time for it.
That's okay. You enjoyed the city more than the event and the event as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to do everything. And I'm going home without being broke from being in Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's like winning.
You can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any cool things that happened during the convention and at the convention center that you...
Okay, so I did a couple drafts. I drafted Black White Spirits in the first one, and we split the finals. And then I drafted Affinity in the second, split the finals. So I had some event tickets. So I went to the prize wall and got 10 Modern Masters packs. So we go, and we were playing 5-person free-for-all pack wars.
Awesome.
So this was great. This was great. And I'm flipping through my deck. I draw my rare, and it's a cryptic command. And I'm like, sweet, this is awesome. You know, money, whatever. Yeah. I'm set. And my opponent, one of the guys is like, "All right, Ulamog's Crusher." And I'm like, "All right, I can't let that happen. Cryptic Command your Crusher." And he's like, "Oh, wow, that's really good." He taps 4 mana and he's like, "Cryptic Command your Cryptic Command."
Double cryptic.
Yeah. It double cryptic in Pack Wars. It was nuts.
That's pretty awesome.
So. That is pretty awesome. And also that you have to have
three blue, yeah. And you only have 3 blue in your deck.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty awesome.
And you also pulled a foily.
Those packs were nuts. We saw Cryptic Command, Foil Imrakul, Dark Confidant.
Jeez. Those are a good 10 packs.
Yeah. And that's I don't even think we've seen a couple of the rares in them so far. So I guess the drafting worked out pretty well for me, much better than the main event might have.
Well, you know, that's something I think maybe our listeners don't know is like how much of one of these events, like how little of it is actually about the main event. Like so much stuff happens. We were at the convention center like a lot, and I played one match in the main event. Like, but we played tons of EDH. We drafted a whole bunch. We did just little side things like that. Like I love just
I sold
you just meet people
and
you do pack wars with them. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
What is finance like at one of these things? I mean, like
it depends on your goals. So you know, you can be that guy who's in the room trying to trade and get the pieces you need and get rid of the stuff you think is going to go down in price. Mm-hmm. You can grind all of that if that's what you're trying to do. I think probably the more common things, people come to sell cards.
Yeah.
So it's really important to do some homework. You don't want to walk in and just sit down at the first booth you find when you're trying to sell some of your cards. You want to walk around, see who's paying the best, see who is interested in the played cards, maybe who won't take them, and get a feel for it, and then sell your stuff. And you don't have to sell it all to one person. You don't have to take an offer if you don't want it. You can negotiate. I think that's something a lot of people don't know. You can negotiate with them on prices, and they say yes or no, and it's not personal, and it's not contentious. It's just what it is. I think that's probably the most important thing at Grand Prix, because a lot of people go to them to sell their cards. So it's,
yeah,
there's
I mean, it's just a great resource for everyone.
Yeah.
With so many different vendors, especially at this GP, there are so many different
ones. This weekend was crazy. There's people.
I mean, we saw like almost 500 people drop from the main event because they cracked some form of Tarmogoyf or a foil mythic.
Yeah.
Just to go sell it, which is insanity.
Yeah, and then you don't have to spend 9 hours trying 9 to 10 hours largest
five and three
ever.
And
grinding, yeah.
Which is great, but this event could go all night. It's just so big. So
yeah,
we also saw prices fluctuate like big time at the start. Our friend Josh pulled a Tarmogoyf, sold it for $125, and I heard today somebody sold theirs for $85.
$85,
down $40 in the course of a couple of days.
Well, I can only imagine how many packs were cracked in between now and that, but then and now.
Yeah, and the other thing is dealers are running out of money.
Right.
They only bring so much to a four-day event. They have to spend it all buying everything that comes to them. So
by the fourth day, they're like, we got a box of Tarmogoyfs already. Yeah. So.
Well, now all those dealers are going to take their Tarmogoyfs home, and they're going to list them on TCG Player or eBay or wherever they list their stuff. And we may see the prices. This is where the prices will bottom out over the next 2 weeks to a month, and then they'll probably start climbing back from there.
Hmm. Interesting. Do you think Tarmogoyf is ever going to reach back up to those 200s?
Not anytime soon. I think that the first Modern Masters was a smaller print run, and Tarmogoyf didn't drop a ton. This time around, we're already seeing Tarmogoyf under 150, nearing 120 to 130. So I don't think it's going to be $200 again anytime soon, especially since they may reprint it again in Modern Masters 2017 if we get that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Wizards wants $200 cards in their format.
They're just trying to slowly bring it down, I think, because if they drop it all at once, then people get mad.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. So now you were also at our party on Thursday night, hung out a lot. Do you have, we got to play some EDH. That was fun.
We drafted a conspiracy with you, too.
We did. We had lots of good games that night. We had a great commander game and a great conspiracy draft after
that. Oh, yeah. So. Tell us how you won that game with Iona.
Yeah, well, what was that? We were in a six-person game with Secret Partners.
Sort of. Rev and I weren't really getting play. Because then we got Shieldred and a Grave packed out, and it was just like...
Yeah,
the game ended on this crazy thing where we had a Living Death bring back a whole bunch of stuff, including a Gray Merchant that was going to kill most people.
Yeah, drop me to 2 life.
Yeah, so I had to swords like my own Avacyn or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
To live through that.
So I get up to 2 life. Jimmy's at 2, and he's like, don't kill me. I can wipe his board with his Black Sun Zenith. And so you're casting the Black Sun Zenith, and I'm trying to figure out how I can get ahead in this. And I had Greater Good, and I was just sacking creatures, drawing creatures. And in the end, I was able to manipulate my graveyard with Molgraf Monstrosity, which, when it dies, brings back creatures, to get Iona in play.
Against the mono black deck.
Yeah, naming black.
Yep.
And then using that to kill Jimmy on the next turn. And then fight the mono, not have him cast any spells. It was a crazy... 6-player games can be hit or miss, but that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a really cool one.
That was insane. It just went down to the most...
Well, it was one of those
race
things where at near the end of the game, I was like, oh, Jimmy's going to win. Oh, man, that guy's going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Corbin's going to win. Like, in the course of, like, 1, 2, 3, it was, like, very fast.
Jimmy was clutch with that Black Sun Zenith. That's all it... That's what, that's what it was.
And I, of course, got paid handsomely with just an immediate
immediate rich,
Thanks. Yeah.
And then you cleaned us up in conspiracy right after that.
Yeah.
Like, votes, man. You got to draft the votes.
Draft all the votes, especially the one that makes everyone lose 4 life, because when you're starting at 20, 4 is a significant number. Yeah.
That was only, like, probably the third conspiracy draft I've ever done. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Makes us feel better, since we've done it about 25 times.
Yeah. Oh, it's a multiplayer game, though, so anything can happen.
I mean, if you guys don't know, Corbin is actually, you are a well-lauded player, correct? You've won some events.
Did you place
in the Vegas GP last time around?
Yeah, the first time around I did play, and I ended up top 32-ing the event. you know, got my first ever pro points. Before that, I'd had some success in Star City and PDQ level stuff. So definitely have some experience playing Magic, but I actually kind of enjoyed just hanging out this weekend.
Yeah. We did get a lot of Magic in, though. We also Chaos Drafted.
Yes.
That's right, at the house.
Yes. Yeah, and I believe we played. I don't remember who won that one.
Crushed in that draft. I got crushed in the Chaos Draft, that's for sure.
That's how you beat Corbin. Get chaotic.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Absolutely.
All right. Corbin, thank you for being on the show. Christine, Sean, Jason, A.E. Marling, thank you all of you guys for taking the time out on Sunday. I don't know if you guys could tell, but we're clearly just beat after the whole weekend. Our voices
I'm still beat to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I know. Our voices are just struggling to stay alive. Kenji on stream today was like, oh, I can't yell. It hurts my throat. And they kept blaming it on me. I'm like, not me. Josh was the one that was teaching you the whole night. But I'll gladly take the blame.
At one point, he turned to me and he goes, I should stop yelling. I need my voice tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I had to literally tell him, like, okay, I feel responsible. You got to go. You have to, because you have to cover tomorrow. Like, you're cut off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to be the dad for a second, so.
Well, he had won enough money at that point where he is definitely good enough to go, you know?
Yeah, that was also the point. I was like, don't give it back, man. You'll be happy tomorrow with what's in your pocket. Just go, so.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely don't want to do that.
Anyway, what an awesome time. GP Vegas, what a great experience. And, you know, the one thing, if you haven't been to a lot of GPs, and this was only my second one, there's probably this idea that it's very serious and tournament-oriented, and it's all about winning. And, you know, you can go to these GPs and have an awesome experience and never even play in the main thing. There's tons of side events. There's tons of people there. You know, whatever type of Magic you like to play, it's more like a convention for Magic than it is like a tournament anymore.
Yeah, it's turning into a convention feel where it's like, look, the side events are just as awesome as the main event. You know, if you don't play, let's say it's a standard GP and you don't play standard, well, guess what? They're running Modern, Legacy side events. They're drafting the entire day. So there's just tons of stuff you can do. People are trading. You can sell stuff. It is a convention. You know, people are dressing up. People are there just to meet new people. And it feels great. People are bringing their kids and stuff. It's a really fun experience, I think, just in general to be at one of these events because everyone around you is doing the same thing. They're, you know, they're playing a game they love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's also super tiring.
Yes.
So on that note, I think that's going to do us for this week.
Yep.
No end step because the one cool thing was GP Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and that a guy drafted a foil Tarmogoyf in the top eight because it's just that awesome.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about that. It'll take forever.
Yeah, exactly. We can all agree.
Maynard.
Yeah, me too, buddy. I'm with you all the way. You held up your hand high for all us filthy casuals around the world. And you know what? I would have done the exact same thing in your position.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. No second episode this weekend as well. We'll be back to our regular scheduled programming next week.
Yeah, because we got to sleep because I'm tired. I can sleep for I think I can sleep for 36 hours straight. I'm pretty sure I could. My job will not allow that, but.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll find out soon. You'll tell me tomorrow morning how you're feeling.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.